From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Jared Higginbotham. He is with a company, bait company, that I have known for years, just never had a chance to get to it. It's the Yakima Bait Company. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm outstanding today, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. I want to comment on a couple things here. Number one, in the emails that we've traded back and forth, I love your the way you finish out the note before you know, you have your address line and everything there. It says, stay fishy. I love it.
Yes. I've said that to my friends for a long time. There was a movie that came out called The Anchorman, and he always said, stay classy, right? The guy did on the movie, and so I always thought it was funny to say, stay fishy. So I just kind of left it on there because it's kind of one of those little things, you know, it's just different. So,
well, it's a perfect fit for your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company for 9 years. I fished the product since I was a kid, but yeah, I've been there for 9 years. So
that we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But first, can you give us a quick history of the company? I've known Yakima Bait for 30-something years, but what's the real history behind it?
So in 1934, it was started by R.B. Warden, kind of out of his garage, in a station wagon, like a lot of businesses were. And he just kind of had this vision of what he wanted it to be as far as producing lures and selling lures. And, you know, so from 1934 to 1941, he took it and had some of his friends who were apple growers here in the Yakima Valley, because, you know, it's a big apple town. They invested in his business and incorporated into Yakima Bait into 1941. And then that's when they started kind of, you know, the factory and manufacturing, you know, more lures and, just kind of, you know, had sales teams and, you know, getting them out to people. And, you know, the rest is kind of history as we grew. In the 50s was when the rooster tail was designed and the spinning glow came out. And, you know, as time went on in the 60s and 70s and 80s, acquisitions were made. You know, we bought, Heelan's Flatfish, I believe we bought in the 90s. We bought Hildebrand in the 2000s. We bought companies like Big Al Fish Flash. So through acquisitions and just boots on the ground and advertising and making great products, you know, it's kind of continued to grow and grow and grow and just have a really good foundation. And here we are today in 2020, and I'm selling all sorts of cool stuff and designing lures and having fun with a company that's been here since 1934.
That's a great story. That works
yeah,
well.
It's kind of the short version, but yeah.
As I mentioned, I've known of Yakima Bait Company, and in particular the rooster tail lure, and I've been fishing that for 30 plus years. Tell us about that design, how it came to be, when it was introduced, those type of things.
You know, the rooster tail was a late 40s lure designed by the Warden family, and that's why it's the Warden's rooster tail. Between Howard and his dad kind of came up with that. And you know, it's one of those things that you just hit the nail on the head the very first try. I mean, literally still at the factory today, we still use the same machines that were designed in the 50s to produce these things. That's how good these guys were. Now, you're talking no computers, no CAD files, you know, none of that. Every piece and part to those has to still be made in the shop. Like if something breaks, we still have guys there that are talented enough to make them in the factory. So they make them, but I, you know, it's still the original machines. And so, you know, you figure each one of those machines has made how many millions of rooster tails over the years.
Oh, Lord.
It's a pretty interesting deal. And, it's a real chicken feather that's on the tail. And so that's another good selling point because it adds that, you know, action behind it. So you get more of a lifelike, a pulse with that hackle tail. And, you know, the blade and everything on it is cups just right. And designed to thump, you know, at slower retrieval speeds, and so they're pretty easy and friendly for everyone to use. And so, you know, it's just one of those baits that was so easy, so fishy, put together so well from the start, it was just an automatic hit. And, you know, here we are today in 2020, and you can't go into a store across the country and not find a rooster tail.
One of the things I always liked about it is I can cast it out, and as soon as I let it hit the water and, you know, drop a second maybe, I'll give a snap to the end of my rod and then start reeling, and I can feel that blade moving. If you have a sensitive enough rod, you can feel that blade, and you know that it's working properly.
Yeah, and you should feel it. You know, and I get questions all the time. You know, people call me, go, "Hey, man, I've been fishing this rooster tail, and all of a sudden the blade doesn't spin. What happened?" And I'm, you know, it's like, well, you know, you have to tune things, right? Just like a plug. I mean, you think about it. You bring in a largemouth or a trout or a crappie or anything, and you just drag it up on the bank, or you put it in the net and put it in the boat, and it's around and bounces on the blade. You know, there's a possibility it doesn't knock the blade out of tune or bend it or whatever. And it's a very slight, you know, most fishing lures are balanced and fish at a very, very slight plus or minus tolerance. So, you know, it's as simple as, you know, if a blade stops spinning on you, I tell everybody, all you have to do is take a pair of needle nose pliers, start at the top of the blade at a 45-degree angle, and work your way down the blade and just kind of flatten it back out. And that'll retune the blade back to where it'll spin like a top.
Very good. That's nice to know. Yeah. I've never used a pair of needle nose pliers to do it. It's generally just, you know, in my hand, and I'll bend it. Most of the time what I find is I've picked up a little moss or algae or something up around the shaft, and that's what's keeping it from spinning right. I can tell by the feel that it's not running right.
Me too. I cast thousands of those things in our test tank yearly because, you know, we still continue to test those things because, like I said, we still have a plus or minus tolerance on those things. You know, the cuff has to be within a certain, you know, thousandth of an inch either way to make sure that it spins correctly, you know, and the hook has to have a certain, pound test that we break that. You know, it has to meet all these requirements before we put these on a rooster tail. So as we get in new batches of hooks, you know, we'll go out and we'll test them for pull strength to see, you know, to make sure it breaks our tolerances, right? And then the wire, the same thing. And the blade, the same thing. You know, we check them with a micrometer to make sure that they're within spec, and then I'll have them build a few, and then I'll go out and I'll test them to make sure that all the blades, the wire, and the hooks in this batch are good. And then, you know, so this is a constant thing we're always doing is testing, you know, lures not only that we're designing, but lures that we already have in production to make sure that when the consumer gets them, that they're, you know, top-notch, up to par.
Yes. In our part of the country, and I should let people know, you're out in Washington State, is that correct?
Yes, sir, Eastern Washington.
And do you get to do both freshwater and saltwater fishing?
Yes, sir. I do both. I have a boat that I can take out in the ocean. I can fish freshwater, and I have tons of friends that fish both, and guides and buddies. And so, mostly my son, he's kind of my partner in crime. The guy goes with me absolutely everywhere. I don't leave home without him.
Good.
Yeah, I really advocate taking your kids fishing, you know, and they're not leaving them at home. So, but yeah, I take him with me. I get to fish the salt, so we get to fish, you know, bottom fish and salmon and steelhead and, you know, halibut and tuna and those types of things out in the salt, and, you know, catch crab. And then also, you know, all of our freshwater species too, which, you know, match a lot of the same freshwater species you have.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and here in our part of the country here, walleye is generally king, and then a lot of anglers go after largemouth bass. We have a good rainbow trout fishery here, and then striped bass, wiper hybrids. What would you recommend for the walleye angler within the Yakima line?
You know, we make a lot of really great products for walleye, and we've expanded that over my time being there because I travel to the Midwest a lot. The Midwest is a huge market, you know, just like you said. I mean, basically from Nebraska all the way to, you know, New York, guys are fishing walleye.
Right.
And that's pretty much the number one game species, you know, with bass tied right in there all the way through. And so we've designed some products. We have five different styles of worm harnesses, and each one offers something a little different. So, our hammer time harness is your standard, you know, Colorado style blade in a 4, 5, and 6 size. All of our walleye harnesses come on tied on a 15-pound, 60-inch fluorocarbon leader, so you can cut it to whatever length you need. They all come with red size 2 laser sharp hooks, and they're all different. So we've got a hammer time harness. We've got a spinning glow walleye harness, which is, you know, a spinning glow on a walleye rig, which is an iconic bait, you know, for everything everywhere.
Right.
We call a walleye magic, which has a French blade on it, so you get a little bit different vibration. And then we have a Rufus special, which is a spinning glow and a very small blade and a few corky. So it's a very buoyant, but very loud, obnoxious, slow trolling presentation. And then, for the worm harness side. And, then we have what we call our finesse walleye rig, which is a size 1 and a size 2 Hildebrandt blades, which are very tiny for those, you know, colder water situations. And we use, to get those down, we have what we call a spin and glow bottom bouncer. And the bottom bouncer itself does have a spin and glow on the upper part of the wire on the 90-degree bend. And so it adds a little bit of flash, a little bit of vibration, a little bit of attractant to your bottom walker. And the spin and glow being on the arm of the bottom walker also adds a little bit of buoyancy. So for those beginning anglers and people that aren't, you know, as easy or as in tune with how a bottom bouncer works, it doesn't fall over as easy on them. It gives them a little bit of time to regain their speed and pick their bouncer back up to where it's riding straight in the water column. So kind of a neat little deal. It's different than what everybody else has for those as far as a bottom walker goes. But we also have different lures. Maglift has been a very, very good lure for us for walleye starting the last 5 or 6 years. It's a deeper diving crankbait with a rattle. We find that it is best when it's above 50, 52 degrees. They do bite it a lot better. You know, below that 52-degree mark, they seem to really like those stick baits with a very, very slight side-to-side wobble. But once that water hits that 52 to 55-degree mark, the Maglift has been very, very good because it's a very high-action lure.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of stuff for walleye. And we're working on a walleye jig right now with Mark and Jake Romanak. They do the show TV's Fishing 411. Mark's been in the outdoor industry for over 30 years. So they've helped us design a walleye jig, and it's going to be a kind of a two-piece jig. So it's actually a stand-up jig that works well, like in big rivers and stuff too. You know, we've shaved off the head a little bit, so it'll sit down on you. But it's a hydrodynamic shaped head, so the heavier flows of the water, like in the Columbia and the Detroit River, will be able to pass over it and not push it back and swing it away from you, so to speak.
Okay.
So that's going to be coming out this fall, or it was supposed to be out last fall, this last spring, but due to COVID, we've been, you know, like everybody else, kind of slowed down on
right.
a lot of our projects.
Right. What about the largemouth bass angler? What do you have for them?
You know, we purchased Hildebrandt, I believe it was in 1999, I think, is when we purchased Hildebrandt. And so we have, you know, the best blades on the market by far, because all the Hildebrandt blades are, 24 karat gold, genuine copper, and genuine nickel finishes. And so versus just being painted, when you paint gold or copper or nickel on a blade, you just paint it, the reflective surfaces kind of sit flat, like, you know, a mirror. So you sit, you know, like four or five different mirrors together, they sit flat. And so they don't have a ton of reflective points. You know, they do have some, but on the Hildebrandt blades, being that they're rack plated and they're actual genuine gold, copper, and nickel, all of the reflective points stand up on end. And so you get thousands of reflective points versus just those minimal, you know, 5 to 10, 20, whatever reflective points off of just a painted blade. So you get a much higher, I lost my train of thought for a second there. You get a much higher reflection of light off of those blades versus the painted ones.
Okay.
So we send a lot of our blades out for spinner baits and for all sorts of stuff across the country. We also have lines of Hildebrandt spinner bait, in different styles for, Colorado, double Colorado willow, you know, tandem. And then we have single blades too, just in Colorado. So we've got all sorts of different spinner baits to be able to fish. And skirts, we sell skirts too. So pretty much target a little bit of everything on that.
I don't think most anglers have the knowledge of how much time and how much R&D goes into each specific species of fish. They're not all the same. It just amazes me at the time that is put into the development of things. And, you know, like you and Fishing in the Tank and other outfits doing the same thing. So it's amazing to watch that.
And lure design's really neat, right? You know, and so a lot of people think you just design a certain lure to catch a fish. Well, a lot of times, to catch a certain species of fish, and a lot of times that is the way it works. But however, the way you get to that point is the criteria that's required, you know, for the specific fishery or fish. You know, it's like, for instance, if I'm designing a salmon plug that I'm going to fish in the Kenai River, well, right off, that lure has to be able to handle a 5-mile-an-hour current, okay? And that lure has to be able to dive to X amount of feet deep. and also has to be able to hold up to a 70 to 80 pound Chinook, right?
Right.
Possibly hitting that thing. And so then I have to figure out how can I make this lure dive to, you know, this depth, and how can I give it a very fishy action and get it to maintain 5 miles an hour, because the lure is going to, of a speed tolerance, because the lure itself has to use energy to do something. It's either going to use its energy to dive, it's going to use its energy to wiggle, or it's going to use its energy to, whether it's got an air chamber or a balancing weight, it's going to use its energy to fight that balancing weight, and that's where you get your action, or fight that air chamber in there, depending on the size of it. So all these things you have to figure out. Then you have to figure out where to place the pull point, the eye, because that's what dictates the action of the plug after you get the shake figured out. And that takes years to do all that, right? Because you're constantly testing, constantly getting new samples. And the hardest part is the first one out of the mold is about $1,500 to $2,000.
Right.
So you've got one, and you're cutting on this thing and shaving on it and filing on it and heating up with a blowtorch and bending it and, you know, all these things trying to get it to do what you want it to. So there's a lot of time in there. There's a lot of time into doing it correctly, right?
Right. Rainbow trout, another big one out in this part of the country.
Yes, sir.
What do you got for them?
Rooster tail obviously is
yes.
Number one for us everywhere. You know, you can't really go wrong with that thing. We do have the flatfish, which has been around since the 20s when the flatfish was designed.
I want to talk about that lure, too. I love that lure.
Yeah, I'll give you some cool tips, some cool points on that lure. So
sure.
The flatfish comes in different series, right? Well, the F series are the smaller series, which are for trout. Well, the F actually stands for fly rod.
Really?
When you see F2, F3, F4, F5,
right.
It stands for fly rod.
I've never fished one with a fly rod.
Me neither, but that's what they were designed for. I believe they were in Minnesota where Charlie Heenan designed them, for the small creek streams, rivers, and things, fishing in lakes, casting them with a fly rod and retrieving them and stripping them back. I have a little cool history sheet that he wrote in my office at work there. But, kind of neat. And so after the F series, you have the X series, the X4 and X5, which stands for expert. And then you have the U20, which stands for underwater. And then you have the M2 flatfish, which stands for muskie. And then you have the T50, 55, and T60, which stand for trolling. So kind of neat what those letters stand for in front of all those things.
Okay. Last species I had on my list was the wiper, the hybrid wiper. What do you offer for that one?
Well, you know, the rooster tail, again, it works for about everything. I mean, I fish that thing for absolutely everything, and it works great. We also have what we call a drum roller, which was designed for redfish, which is a two-part thing. So you can either run it as a spinnerbait. It's got a four-inch elastic grub on it, Z-Man elastic grub on it, and it's got a 10 head, and it's got a 4X strong hook. So it's built for, you know, redfish, big fish in the salt.
Right.
And it also has an R-bend arm off of it with a Colorado Hillebrand blade. Now, we've made an easy switch system on that, so you can take that arm off there and fish it just as a jig or as a swim bait.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, got a lot of guys using that for wipers and stripers, you know, in the California Delta. And then we have a couple of pro staff guys all the way through from Texas, all the way up around Florida, that fish a lot of, you know, redfish, and then also come inland and fish stripers. So all the way up through and fish stripers with them. So kind of a multi-species bait, neat little bait.
We're going to need to step away and do a quick commercial, Jared, but if you'd stay with me, I got some more questions for you on the other side of the break.
No problem, my friend.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Folks, get this. You won't believe this, but it did happen. Fremont, California Police Department began a pilot program. They wanted to see how electric cars would work in their fleet. The only electric car that met their requirements was a Tesla. Well, last week, a cop driving the new Tesla, the environmentally friendly electric squad car, ran into a problem. There was a high-speed chase. The cop radioed dispatch to ask for backup because his electric car was running out of charge, running out of juice. His Tesla only had 6 miles of battery life left. He was afraid the car would run out of power any moment. A police spokesman later said the incident was a one-off. It would not change their opinion about using electric patrol cars. Besides, they said the cars not fully charged before it was taken out. It wasn't the car's fault, so no harm, no foul, even if there was no juice. Now, don't get me wrong. I've got nothing against Teslas. If you like them, have at it. If you incorrectly believe that you're going to save the planet driving one, have at it. If you think gasoline's old hat, go for it. But here's why. Fossil fuel going to be around for a very long time. It's cheap, efficient, reliable. You don't run out of it during a high-speed chase. And you know what? You can drive faster than the bad guy. There is no way this Tesla was going to keep up with the bad guy. The perp got away. The cops abandoned the chase. But we saved the planet! Yay! We are all spending more time at and around home these days, and if you own land, my good friends at Mahindra can help you make the most of your time at home. Now just think about all the projects you can do with a tough, reliable Mahindra tractor, like mowing and disking, digging and trenching, lifting and hauling. So if you need to put in a new gravel driveway, or you've been meaning to clear those fallen trees, take the first step now. Visit whymahindra.com, build your own tractor. Your local Mahindra dealer will give you a custom quote and delivered right to your property. Mahindra's summer sales event's going on now with special savings on Mahindra, the official tractor of Tough. So visit whymahindra.com now and turn your time stuck at home into time well spent.
To learn more about Mahindra's full line of subcompact, compact, and utility tractors, and Mahindra's rugged line of utility vehicles, or to become the Mahindra dealer for your area, please visit Why Mahindra.
While the hail could be upon us at any moment, local Fortify Group insurance agent in North Platte, Kevin McGann, is busy shielding families and farms from the elements. Stop by 408 South Jeffers and learn how Fortify Group insurance can protect what matters most to you.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. We'll see mostly sunny skies here for today with a high into the upper 80s. Winds from northerly and increase around 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. For tonight, mostly clear skies and a low near 55. By Saturday, sunshine, a high of 85 degrees. Then by Sunday, slight chance for showers and storms early on, with a high around 91. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jared Higginbotham with the Yakima Bait Company this morning. Long-time company, long-time favorite of mine. When we left, we were talking about some of the species we fish around this part, but I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about another one of the lures I saw on your website, and that's your maxi jig. I love fishing jigs. They're quite versatile, and that one looks like a perfect design. not to toot your horn too loudly, but it looks like a perfect design. How do you got any tips for fishing that type of jig, Jared?
So that jig was originally designed for steelhead. Was the original design for the jig, and so we put an Owner 2X strong hook on that. So designed for Olympic Peninsula steelhead. And what we found is because we offered in a 1/32nd, 1/16th, 1/8, or 1/4, and a 3/8 ounce is guys are fishing these things for everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
For trout, crappie. I get a lot of guys fishing for crappies because that hook will hold up for a long, long time. You know, if you're fishing in structure and stuff, it's kind of tough because you're going to lose that jig because that hook doesn't bend out, and bend back. It's not going to bend. But, you know, we fish them a lot under floats here for steelhead. However, I do use them to vertical jig as well for panfish, trout, different things like that. So, but majority of the time, it is fished underneath a float here in a river system for steelhead or salmon.
Now, I have fished that jig, and I use it smallmouth bass and wipers are usually my two target species for that. And I'll find them when they're up against a vertical wall, and I'll throw it against the wall and then let it fall right down the wall, and that's generally where I get my good pickups there. So. Another one I like.
Yeah, we use them for, a method that we call twitching, too, which we do for salmon and rivers. And so, it's very similar to kind of pitching a bass jig. You're kind of targeting it, except you're in a river system. So you target it just slightly downstream, let it hit bottom. And as it hits bottom, you're popping it up and taking the crank on your reel, and popping it up and taking the crank on your reel. And you do that whole way back, and that jig hops across the bottom. And, you know, salmon and steelhead just absolutely cannot resist that. It's kind of been a new technique out here. And so we use it for that. We're also designing an actual line of twitching jigs with, you know, rabbit hair and fur and everything else on those. It's got a rabbit fur tail, and it's got some squid tentacles, too, some plastic squid tentacles on it.
A lot of action.
You know, what's that?
A lot of action, a lot of attracting.
Yeah, a lot of action, a lot of attracting, and, you know, that can be used, again, for, you know, it's got a very, very strong hook on it. We put a 4-aught hook on it because, again, it's for salmon and steelhead. So my buddies have been researching them, you know, kind of giving me their opinion on them across the country from, you know, fishing lake trout to walleyes to a little bit of everything. They hold up really well, and they've been very, very successful with that, too. And so it's kind of another one of those multi-species jigs that was really just kind of designed for our salmon and steelhead fishery that has a whole other applications in other fisheries. So we're really excited to introduce that this year, too.
Great. Looking through your website and kind of studying everything, there's no way we can cover everything on this show. You just may have to be on again sometime, Jared. That's all there is to it. The Poe line, the cedar plug that you have, and I was looking at that one, and I'm thinking, man, there's a good one for wipers and striped bass, stuff like that. Do you know of anybody that uses that for those species?
You know, I don't. That has been strictly, you know, tuna has really been all that's been targeted with that, you know, an ocean fish. You know, it's a cedar body, and then it is got a lead head on it. And so, you know, anytime you mix weight and anything that's buoyant, you get resistance from the buoyancy, and so that creates an action. And so that's the deal with that lure. You can cast it out, you can vertical jig it for tuna, you can reel it in and kind of hop it, you know what I mean? It has a lot of different actions you can use with that bait, and it's only been used for tuna so far that I know about here. Now, I'm sure other guys have their little secret stash of them they use for things and don't tell anybody about, but you know, it's a very, very cool bait, and it's been around again for years and years for a reason, because it is effective.
Well, you'll just have to think of a reason to come here, and I got a really good wiper lake we can go to and try that.
I'm all in, my friend. I love fishing across the country. That's one of the coolest parts about my job is that is part of my job, is to go to different fisheries and test and see what we have that works there, or see what I can design and build that would work in a specific fishery, you know, working with guides or people like yourself or retailers. So, you know, that's part of my job, which is, I'm a lucky dude.
We got about 30, 45 seconds left. Jared, where can people find Yakima Bait Company products here in Nebraska, or how do they order them off the internet?
Well, you know, many of our retailers are online. Bass Pro Shops is a good one. Walmart's a good one. You know, most of your independent retailers do carry some sort of Yakima Bait Company. Our website is shut down right now due to COVID and our restrictions in our state. So you can't order from our website because we had no one there to pick orders or build lures for a while. And so we're kind of just going to get that back going pretty soon. But, you know, if you just Google whatever product it is you want, most of the time you will get a retailer that shows up that carries that specific line of products you're searching for.
Very good. Thank you again for being on the show this morning, and particularly starting your day early. You're on your Pacific time, so you're 2 hours ahead of us there, and appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Not a problem, man. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.